podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Churros y Tacticas podcast. It is Tuesday. Diego is back from holiday. And I am back from nowhere special. I woke up at the crack of dawn today, worked on an article, and then...
Didn't you go to the cottage?
Yes, I did, actually, yeah. But that was like 2 days ago now, so it feels like 3 years ago. So, but that was fun. I did a cottage, did some kayaking with my kids, and then... Yeah, and I kind of like, you know, it's weird, like in this industry, when you're covering news about football,
yeah,
you miss one day and you feel like you've like completely missed out on everything. It's you're almost news like I just throwing in the towel. I'm done. Like I missed everything. I can't. How am I supposed to like catch up now? So it was nice to be back in the routine on Monday, where you're just like, okay, getting back into the routine of making sure you don't miss any news, reading what you want to read, writing what you want to write, back to the podcast schedule, etc. So it's nice to be back in the groove. But yeah, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I came back from celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary between my wife and I. I think I mentioned...
Congrats.
Thank you. The claps were blanked out by your microphone that...
Hold on, let me do this thing. So original sound for musicians is off. I turn it on. Now
there we go.
All right.
But yeah, I planned a surprise trip to the very magical, organized, chaotic city of Marrakech in Morocco. If you haven't been, it's absolutely worth a visit. Wonderful city. It feels like you go back in time. It's the people are very friendly, but 4 days as a foreigner, I think, is around the right amount of time, 4 or 5 days, because it's tiresome as well. It's tiring, not just because culturally there's so much to see, but it's like everywhere you go, Keon, you got to haggle. You got to, it's everything's a negotiation, constant negotiation. And that, as a Westerner, is, of course, we're not used to that anymore. You know, the art of negotiations.
The price
of negotiating
is
yes, exactly. You don't, you're not used to just having to literally haggle for everything. So that got a little tiresome and annoying. I'm not going to lie. It got very annoying after a little while. But again, that's not to say, and you know, people are very charming, very friendly. So there's so much to see. There's so much poverty as well, which is very saddening. And so you have this kind of sense of guilt again from as a foreigner, as a Westerner going there, seeing all this poverty and you know, at 1 a.m. kids still out in the streets selling pastries and sweets and stuff. It's it was an eye opener. It's the first time that I'd been to North Africa. In fact, the African continent in and of itself, I'd never had the pleasure of going there. So it was a learning experience for me, an eye-opener, you know, and one that I thoroughly enjoyed, with all the hardship as well of seeing so much poverty and, you know, being confronted with that. And yeah, like I said, having this sort of sense of guilt. You know what I mean by that? Like sort of feeling like, I don't know how to describe it, but, you know, you're there negotiating, haggling the price, and you're trying to get what you deem or see as a fair price. And in the end, you're kind of just cave in because, you know, you think, well, these people have nothing. And then you walk away feeling kind of
shafted,
annoyed with yourself because you're like, damn, I'm just paying fucking European prices here. So, yeah, all those. It was a mixed emotions, a bag of mixed emotions, but a beautiful experience for sure.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I've obviously been to places similar to that, and I know what you're describing. So the kids were with the in-laws, or your mom, or your dad? Or...
Yeah, with my dad. Yes. My parents are here, and so it was just really, really nice to have that moment. It was been such a long time that my wife and I you know, haven't had such a long amount of time. Like I said, we were there for 4 nights. So call it, you know, 5 days with obviously 2 days where you're traveling. So, but just to have time, the two of us and be able to, you know, have that luxury of being able to think for ourselves or for each other, as opposed to having to nurture and care and constant, entertain, the kids. So as you know, as well, Kian, as a married man and as a father of two, that's the day to day. You can kind of, you know, forget how important it is to nurture the relationship between, your wife's Ski and you. So it was really good and much needed and much appreciated for my parents to give us a helping hand.
So did you miss Sunday night's game? Spain, Croatia?
I did. I fully missed that. Yeah, my father, my pops kept me in the loop telling me just how boring the game was. And
most finals are.
Yeah, this whole Final Four of the Nations League. Yeah, but it seems like this whole Nations League Final Four has just kind of been a bit of a dud. Even though Holland Croatia went down to the wire. It seems that Holland also has just not been playing well under Koeman, and it's all shit. I said Holland Croatia, but Holland Italy, of course, for the third place was a complete another shambles, according to my dad. So
I didn't watch it. I told my dad because we watched the Spain Croatia game together. It was Father's Day, and I told them Netherlands won that 3-2, right? That I got that score right.
No,
Italy won 3-2.
Netherlands lost. Yes.
I told my dad. I said Italy got third place. He's like, third place in what? I was like, Nations League, the game, the third place game. He's like, why is there a third place game for Nations League? I was like, I don't know. It's a good question. The France Spain game.
Frankie
the
Young asked that same question.
France-Spain a couple years ago was pretty entertaining. Remember the Benzema goal to the game winner where he cuts in and scores far post? Beautiful goal. There was a parade. Mm. I don't know if that's a normal thing. Like when people win the Nations League, is there typically a parade? But there was a parade. Let's be honest with ourselves. If on a degree of importance of the UEFA Nations League, with all due respect, with 10 being important and 0 being Diego Lorin didn't even watch the game, I think it leans toward not that important. Are we justifying the parade? Did we think it was necessary?
I didn't see the parade. I saw the quote unquote celebrations or the shambles in the Wizzing Center. And I think they're you know, countries that are winning it. I don't know how Portugal, what they did in Portugal when they won it, but I feel like national federations are still trying to figure out exactly how to celebrate or commemorate, the achievement of winning the Nations League. Like you said, it's not up there yet with the important tournaments like the Euro Cup or the World Cup, obviously. And it might never be, you know, this is just another way to kind of rake in some cash or give value, give meaning to maybe the summer friendlies that we all criticized for years on end, which I seem to remember both you and I were, you know, in agreement and concurred that, yes, this is indeed a step up to just absolute meaningless friendlies. And I still, you know, stick to that stance. But yeah, to kind of interrupt a romantic dinner and tell the wife on her 10th wedding anniversary that, hey, I have to watch the final, the Nations League final. Sorry, baby. It's not that important yet for that excuse to stick.
Yeah. And that's why I don't complain about Nations League, because I do think it's better than friendlies. Like friendlies, no way in hell am I really reorganizing anything to watch a friendly. But a Nations League I'll watch. There is prize money at stake, to be fair. And if you care about it, you know, you can get relegated from it, go to different, you know, levels of Nations League. But I look, man, like the club season was over. And if I'm going to get up like in the summertime to really think about football in a serious manner to watch a game, yeah. my brain power was reserved for a World Cup or a European Championship or Copa America, African Cup of Nations. I can't literally just take with a serious face, sit down and be like, whew, get everyone together, Nations League final. Yeah. We got to go to the parade after if we win. Like, I can't. That brain power was reserved for the other ones that I grew up with. That's all. But I'm not complaining about the Nations League. I'm just saying that it is what it is. We're just talking about levels of importance. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. It still feels like there's just too many games, right, for players. I mean, we heard Frankie de Jong complain ahead of the third place match. When he was asked, he said, you know, I have really no clue what we're still doing here or why we are playing this game. To which Šeferin actually came out and gave him the answer.
What did he say?
He said something along the lines of, well, you know, I understand his point and it's something that we are evaluating, you know, whether or not it's worth it. So actually, Šeferin showed some sympathy.
Better answer than I thought it was going to be.
Right, yeah. And so, you know, I feel like players are still kind of viewing these kind of games or this competition as a drag, obviously, and they'd probably rather be with their families and just resting up for these highly demanding seasons that they have at their club level and national level as well, respectively, of course. But this Nations League tournament being still so new and hot off the press, yeah, it's not something that from what I gather, fans nor players themselves get really excited for. So I think, yeah, it's something they'll have to reevaluate potentially. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's in the interest of the players and the spectacle and therefore the fans as well, isn't it? So
I'm curious to know what this looks like in 5-10 years, the Nations League.
Right.
Maybe even 20 years. Like, you know, maybe you get rivalries built in it and it becomes like this really fun thing. Like, you know, where maybe heated games in some nations, like it just becomes more important. Like people will see the parade. I don't know. I guess I'm just curious. I don't want
to. So parade, was there a parade? I might have missed that as well. Was there an actual parade through the Castellana with in a bus? And I just saw the thing, like the clips I think that everybody saw from in the Wizzing Center with José Lu saying a la Madrid and then Gavi obviously getting...
What is the Wizzing Center you referred to twice now?
The Wizzing Center, oh, my friend. Oh, it's oh, where Wizzing, your basketball Wizzing. Team... Yes.
I don't. It just sounded like you were saying whizzing, like P, and I was confused.
Oh, whizzing. No, whizzing.
Whizzing, okay. no, I...
The Whizzing Center. Just people go there to piss.
I don't know if it was an actual parade or if it was just like they get gathered in the square. I don't know.
I think it was just a gathering in the Whizzing Center.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe. Did you see that?
I saw the only clip I saw from it was the Gavi one because the one that went viral. Like I don't, I didn't like sit down and watch the parade. Like I didn't. I barely even watched like when Real Madrid wins Champions League. I even barely watched that parade. I'll just like have it on the background. I'll cook or I'll like catch the like someone will post the like highlights if like someone said something funny or if Ramos threw a trophy over the bus. I'm not going to watch a Spain parade. So I don't really know exactly. But the clip that I saw that went obviously viral was Gavi getting the insults. So
yeah,
we're here now, like some, I don't know, 15 minutes into the podcast. We finally arrived at this part of the podcast where we talk about Gavi getting insulted. So I don't know how much there is to discuss. I'm sure you have your opinion on it, but I just want to say I think it's really... really stupid when fans do that. Like you're just gathered there to celebrate your national team, regardless of who these players play for at the club level. Just celebrate them and just behave like a normal human being. So I hated it. I hated seeing that and I thought it was really stupid. And I hated the ensuing dialogue with Real Madrid fans fighting with Barcelona fans on social media about it, like kids.
Yeah. Look, I think everything. I've obviously nothing good to say about it. I see a lot of comparisons being made that me, quite frankly, personally, I want to stay clear from. The only thing I have to say about this is that, yeah, it's shameful. It's too bad. It's sad as well. I think it kind of puts maybe certain, like some Madridistas that were out there teaching lessons in their place as well when it comes to their own fan base and some of the stupid shit that they do. We're seeing that fan bases everywhere have got, you know, dumbasses mixed between them. And these insults have no place when you are there celebrating the success of, in this case, your country, your, you know, national Spain side. Mixing the two, I think, is unfortunate. I think it was, you know, when I realized that it was the Wizz Inc. Center, I think it was something that could have been anticipated when somebody as divisive and that stirs up so many emotions within the Madridista fan base, like Gabi, comes up to take the microphone, purely because the Wizz Inc. Center is, you know, the place where Real Madrid play their basketball tournaments. So it's a place where I would have imagined the majority would have been Madridista. Now, you know, that might be me jumping to conclusions, but also when, you know, when I saw the clips of Joselu screaming a la Madrid and the crowd chanting Madrid type songs, I also think that was out of place. I'm like, well, why is that happening? Like, you know, this is not a Real Madrid party over here where we cheer the Madrid players and boo the Barca players. So I thought all of that was seriously out of place. I thought it was unfortunate. You know, Gabi is a young kid at the end of the day, still 18. He just got his driver's license and is somebody that when it comes to public speaking is, I don't want to like, not that he's autistic, but he's very much an introvert, you know, within Barca, within the camp. When he was brought up from the youth ranks, there was always, you know, this sort of approach with Gabi that said, not approach with caution, but, you know, he was somebody that had to be sort of, the approach was, it wasn't somebody that was very quick to take the microphone. Okay. Like socially, again, he's not as say open or an extrovert like maybe you or I could be or Gerard Piqué, right? He was somebody that was known and labeled as an introvert and kind of, you know, he was put under the cotton wools and treated with a caution in that regard. And a caution is not the word I'm looking for, Kian. It was just, you know, somebody that only would have to speak publicly when needed, so to speak. And obviously that's a learning process. And as you grew older and grew up in the ranks, you saw him also appear in public much more. But just to say that in these kind of scenarios, he's not a fish in water, you know, is the complete opposite. He's a fish out of water. He's not so comfortable publicly. And I think that was immediately noticeable when those chants became louder and louder and it was clear what was being chanted. You know, he looked visibly uncomfortable. So it's, you don't want to see somebody from that age at that age, be exposed to that kind of treatment. And it's out of place. It's out of place. It's unfortunate. It's, it happens within our society, whether it's in stadiums or in these kind of, situations. And I think, you know, we need to learn from that and hopefully improve as a society to kind of separate our passions and love at club level and not take it out so much personally on players, whether it's based on their race, based on, you know, their culture, or based on the shirt that they wear. and get paid for to play. So, you know, that's maybe wishful thinking. It's a topic that, of course, has been very hot lately, and it continues to be so. But yeah,
the Jose Lu, I did see the Jose Lu Hala Madrid. I think that was kind of like that wasn't talked about much. I also wonder what place there is for that. I don't think it should have been reverted. The attention should have been reverted to clubs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, out of place.
Completely. You know, in Madrid, now granted, you know, the Wizzing Center and all this, like it goes, you know, but you're in Madrid, so there's any number of fans there. It could be Real Madrid, Atletico, Rayo Vallecano, etc. It's like if, you know, a Sevilla, or it's like Jesus Navas, if the parade was in Sevilla, he goes to Sevilla and he says, you know, he talks about Sevilla and then there's Betis fans there. I don't, you know, so I just think like it should have probably not have gone to the club level at all.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's obviously not like the main pressing issue. The main pressing issue was that like, it's just not, that kind of behavior just should not be normalized, you know, to react like that. He also looked really uncomfortable, Gabby did, and I don't blame him. I don't really have anything else to say on this topic.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think there is, you know. Again, I don't feel like going into a discussion where we are comparing cases, and I'm not in the mood to lecture or give out lessons. I just, you know, I think this just shows that all of us, so many of us have still so much to learn, and that society is flawed. I mean, you know,
just society, like, bottom line is you're there to celebrate, so just celebrate, you know?
Right.
And it doesn't matter what club, who plays for, like it doesn't matter.
Also, did you see apparently there were calvo and baldy chants towards De La Fuente.
I read that. Yeah, I didn't see it.
Yeah. I seem to take that with a little bit more humor, but
enlighten me, like that I'm assuming that's just part of like Spanish humor.
Well, I mean, I guess.
Like,
I wouldn't deem it as a Spanish humor. It's just,
you know, like calling Zidane and Baldy is pretty normal. Zidane and Pep, like, you know, they get called bald frauds, yeah. But it's almost like a complimentary.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
I have a couple things to run by you that I have not talked to you about beforehand.
Well, I'm assuming you're super excited for your new number. I was going to say number 9, of course.
I was actually thinking about if this would come up. Real Madrid fans are obviously, like, this was all they cared about this morning. It was not about Jose Lu. It was, what number is he going to take? if he's taking number 9, everyone was just going to go hibernate for the whole summer and cry in the fetal position.
Yes.
And probably not even come out next year, because they would have just said next year's going to suck. Now he's taking the 14. Everyone's starting like the Photoshop 9 Mbappe. Everyone's losing their mind. Like, yeah. I think it's kind of sad and hilarious at the same time. I won't lie, man. Like, if we go in to next season with Jose Lu as our starting striker, I'm pretty worried. If Jose Lu is your backup, I think he's a really great backup. Respectable player. He's actually performing well at his age. He's part of the, you know, our youth team, you know, many years ago. Homegrown in some ways.
In some ways. Not
as
really.
As a backup, in some ways, yeah. Respectable backup, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As the guy who leads the line, you know, you go from Benzema to him, it's a big downgrade. So I, you know, while I'm not going to go make memes, number 9 Mbappe and stuff like that, I'm obviously secretly hoping that you can get him this summer. I'm just extremely skeptical of the whole thing because of what's happened in the past. I'll just leave it there.
So he, in the meantime, comes out and says that after everything that has been said, in the media that he's not going to renew his contract, that this will be his final year or final year of his contract. It is basically, for the moment, not going to renew. He now, did you read those statements, came out and said that, yeah, I'm open to renewing. That's could be possible. I mean, it must be so confusing. There's constant left and right turns. At what point do you just say, you know what? Harry Kane, here's number 9. Come on, man. Let's just, you know, let's.
Well, first of all, I think.
Why is Harry Kane no longer an option?
Look, if it were, I wrote about this today. I think from a Real Madrid perspective, I think if you pay over $100 million for Harry Kane for 4 years of healthy Kane, that's absolutely worth it. Just do it. Of course, if he comes and he gets injured and something goes wrong, it's terrible. But he's had, for the past 3 years, he's been healthy. So,
yeah.
And he's been scoring. Like, outside of Mbappe Haaland, right? Like, he is the best goal scorer in the world. And so I think you take that if you can. But obviously, there's the obsession. There's the Florentino Perez, like, yeah, Kane over here. And by the way, that's not even a guarantee. You're dealing with Levy. So, like, you know, who knows? But then it's like, this Mbappe is over here. Maybe we can get him. And I think with regards to the Mbappe, like, constant change of stances and opinions, he's very intelligent. He knows what he's doing. He's manipulating both teams. He knows the...
Do you want that kind of player?
Well, that's the question. That's the question. I'm willing to bet if Mbappe comes to Real Madrid, he comes with baggage. The question is, do you care about the baggage if he brings you trophies? You know? Mm-hmm. Do you care that there are some problems in the dressing room if he's winning Ballon d'Ors and he's winning Champions League titles and he's scoring 50 goals a year? Do you really care? Like, let's be honest. Like, when you go back to the Cristiano Ronaldo era, he was not a perfect example on and off the pitch. But did fans really care?
Mm.
You know, it becomes a problem when you start sucking, and then it's a big problem if you also suck as a person. But you know, I think that's the trade off.
So what guarantee? But what guarantee do you have that titles will come in and that you're not bringing in poison into a locker room where you need to actually? What you need to do is bring in leaders and examples for these very talented young players that you guys have on your roster, and not somebody who walks around like a prima donna thinking that the world owes him something and he's God's gift to everyone.
I love this. This is Diego Lorin shivering in his boots, trying to bring logic to the debate. Do you guys really want him? Like, he's not that good. He's like, you know, you need leaders.
I just think he's poisonous. No, I've stayed consistent with that. I think his attitude is poisonous.
So I generally agree with you. And, you know, I brought this example for those who follow the NBA. Like I'm talking about like someone like Kyrie Irving, who is pure poison, literally lights every single team on fire everywhere he goes. One of the greatest dribblers in basketball.
Great, I love him. Yeah,
I would baller. Not like he to me is not worth it. Like if I'm an NBA team, I stay completely clear of that guy, regardless of his talent, because he's just not a guarantee. Mm-hmm. I don't put Mbappe in that category. I think Mbappe is good enough and well liked enough by the players themselves. Even the fans get annoyed with him. He's really good friends with Vinicius, Camavinga. Like from a player relationship standpoint, he seems to mesh well. I don't know how much friction there was between him and Benzema by the end of it, but you know, Benzema's not here anymore. I don't think Mbappe is like a Kyrie Irving level. First of all, he's a better version of an athlete. He's a better footballer than Kyrie Irving is a basketball player. And I don't think his baggage is as much of a Kyrie Irving. I'm just drawing that parallel just because everything's relative. But
Kyrie's a champion though, huh? Proven champion.
Sure. I mean, Mbappe has a World Cup. Mbappe that has a Euro championship. Does not have the Champions League yet, but obviously he's gotten to the final.
But that is true with France, but you could also argue that obviously Mbappe in France is better, much better surrounded than that Cavs team was, despite the fact that he was playing next to LeBron James.
Sure. Although I will say what he did in the world, this past World Cup was unbelievable. Like that final where
that
he
final was
put
insane.
That team on his back, unreal performance. Yeah, one of the best performances in World Cup final history.
But if I give you the choice of saying, okay, you can get, you know, we talked about obviously Kane, Osimhen was mentioned a little bit. I don't know why that wasn't much of a viable option. I guess because
I think
he
price.
Has, because of his price, and it seems that he'll be going to England. Although that, obviously that's nothing is confirmed. But what about it, like a Lukaku? Wouldn't that say Lukaku for now?
This is a true Kool-Aid speaking. You guys stay clear of Mbappe. What you need is Lukaku. You need a leader.
I like Lukaku. I
do,
rate him.
Actually, but
I think he provides not just on a goal scoring, but also assisting front. I know it's like fun to shit on him for his misses recently, but a Lukaku now, and then it puts you, if that puts you in the running for like a Haaland a little bit later on down the line, and plus you have Endrick coming up.
You know, it's bad when even Saudi Arabia gives you only 25 million per year. That's the offer. They're like, hey, you know, we give all these guys like 100 million, but you're 25 million. We'll match what.
Is that so?
I think it was, from what I read, it was a 25 million offer. But I, okay, so I won't.
You're,
I
won't, Lukaku, bring up, you're offended. You'd definitely be offended.
I won't bring up Lukaku, but I'll bring you a couple other names. Because like a couple of names I listed, because what I wrote about today in my column was that I don't think it's a wise decision to put all your eggs in the Mbappe basket because it's extremely risky. First of all, like if you get him this summer, and then it's worth it. Done deal, you get him. If you're basically relying on next summer to get him for free, knowing how much Mbappe changes his mind, knowing how many briefcases will come by that point from PSG, how many promises, you know, ability to sway his decision, that's extremely risky because then you're going into next season with Jose Lu and Rodrigo false nine, or maybe you promote, or maybe you give Alvaro Rodriguez a full-time job coming out of Castilla. It's a huge risk. And I don't, like, there's huge, huge repercussions of being bad in football. Like, if you're bad in another sport, like in an American sport like basketball, you get rewarded for being bad with draft picks. If you're bad in football, you miss out on not only trophies and seedings and competition, but you miss out on prize money. There's real punishments for being bad. And I think it's just a huge downgrade to go from Benzema to Jose Lu, who, and I kind of feel bad about this because I feel like it's turned into this disrespectful thing towards Jose Lu, who is a really, really good player, a good signing, cost us nothing
a
to
decent,
bring.
Decent. Like, let's not call him a really good player. He's a decent player.
I mean, 16 goals in La Liga last season. That was the third most in the league. That's respectable, man. Like, sure. That's a good
for a team that's getting relegated. I mean, it's
no Jose Lu slander. He's a good player, man. Come on, he's a good player.
I
know
decent.
He's
you said really, really.
One
you said really,
Castilla,
really good.
And then
I'll give you a
and
good.
Then he said
I'll give you
and
a good.
I know you have
the
to
two
release
sobraban. That was two release too much. Good player. Okay. Go on.
Really good.
Not
player.
A really, really good player. But good.
Really good decent. Player.
Decent.
I like him. Fine. Good in the air too, and also well groomed. Nice haircut. Good jawline. Where was I? What was I saying? He's a good player.
But like, do you really even need a proper number nine? Like, you could argue that Benzema, and I'm sure you guys have done this on Managing Madrid, was never a natural, true number nine as it is.
No, but he scored like a number nine. And he did everything else too, outside the box. Linked up play. And that's the thing. Like, Jose
Lukaku.
I don't know. Next, I feel like.
Would you not get excited?
Next,
let's say you could. Let's say you could get.
You're gonna
let's say you get a Lukaku. Let's say you get a Lukaku for I don't know. Toss a figure there. Reason with 40 million.
I'm not paying 40 million for a
Lamelo. You would be downtrodden.
The name I would look at if I'm not getting like an elite striker like Kane, the name I would look at is actually someone like Gonzalo Ramos, who I think he's only 22. I included him in my column. Like, he's decent outside the box too. No one's as polished as Benzema, and he certainly is not either in his link-up play. But promising, much cheaper. Like, that's the kind of name I would look at if you can't get Mbappe, Kane, Osimhen, who we've never been linked with. Some of the other names that have kind of circulated on the fringes, like, I want no business of. Like, Vlahovic is one.
What about Julian Alvarez?
Yes.
Too much money, though.
I would take him, but he just extended with City, I think, and I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're getting that.
But I would look at a name like Gonzalo Ramos. I would like. I also think, like, if you're not signing anyone, which I think is disastrous, to be clear, I think you have to bring in Alvaro, bring him in, into the first team role. Also look at players like Arribas. It's a really dangerous game to play if you're waiting until 2024, and it's going to look really, really bad if he renews with PSG.
What is the little, we're digressing here. What's the Castilla situation? Have you guys played your next round of games yet?
We've played the first leg, the second leg, I
think. Well, results, please.
Oh, it was a draw. 1-1, I think it was, it was 1-1.
Against Eldense, right?
Eldense, yeah.
And then the next game is in the...
It's this weekend.
Di Stefano?
No, first game wasn't Di Stefano.
Oh, come on.
Look in your lips.
So was your boy playing there?
Arribas?
Yeah?
Yeah, he scored the equalizer. Okay. So he's back. I mean, if he was playing against Barca, it would have been lights out. Like, it would have been 10-0.
Stop it. If we had our captain, there would have been no chance that any goal would have gone in.
So, you know, like, it's just a never-ending discussion, this guy, Mbappe. Because if he renews next year, it's still not going away. 2025, 2026, 27, 28, 29, until he's, like, virtually, like, he can't walk anymore, this is going to be a conversation that Madridistas are going to have. And the media is going to also, like, you just... I think a lot of people just don't know anything, including the insiders. You just know as soon as Joselu got number 14, they were writing their headlines. Real Madrid plan on giving the 9 to Mbappe. Like, they just pre-wrote it, you know?
Were some Madridistas, like, did they see that as a disrespectful act? Or you know, was there any kind of, to Joselu? Was anyone like, oh, Joselu deserves the 9, and why would you shaft him like that? He's a really, really good player.
I don't think anyone has that thought planted in their brain.
Okay.
When you say he deserves a 9, what does that even mean? He's barely played. He's like, he hasn't played for us yet. He hasn't played for us since 2011, I think. But
he's played for a lot of teams. I was checking him out on Transfermarkt earlier today. Yeah, I'm like, I didn't realize he was born in Germany. And then, like, he's played for fucking half the teams in Europe.
Yep.
He didn't play that long for Castilla. That's when you said homegrown. I was like, well, not really. Yeah.
It was brief, yeah. Well, this is the other interesting part of the question. Is that because no one has the 9 yet, it's got to be someone. So that, I think, in part has gotten Mario just as excited. Because it's got to be someone who we don't know yet. Unless it's Alvaro.
Morata. Yeah, that could be an interesting one. Bring him on, baby. Bring him on.
God. When you saw the video of Did, or maybe you didn't because you were away in Morocco. There was that video on the weekend with a fan asking Florentino Perez if there's going to be any more signings, and he said no. Did you see that?
No.
Okay, so this is a video that went viral this weekend.
Okay.
Florentino Perez was signing autographs, and someone had the video camera, and he was like, we're going to sign Joselu, and he's like, yeah, soon, like it's going to be announced. And then he was like, any more signings after that? And Florentino just goes, no. That's it. Deadpan. And the video went viral, and Madridistas were just losing their minds, man.
Depressed. Like,
just complete meltdown.
And, Summer's over.
I have to, like, I think Florentino has some pretty dark humor. Like, it's just like deadpan. He's like, no. He knows he's being recorded. And,
of course. I mean, he's famous for saying never, 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 like, or never, ever, ever, right? When it came to the Beckham signing, and then right. A week later, there he was,
yeah,
in all his glory, in all his splendor. So, I mean, you can't really believe that. I mean, nobody really truly.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, I said this to you and on Sunday night because I asked him his thoughts about we were recording a podcast, and I said, like, I just think the fan base is overreacting to a video. What is he going to do? Say yes? He's not going to say yes. As I always say, it's better to underpromise and overdeliver. So, also, like, every time you go back in history, anytime, like, there's been a transfer, like, a big transfer that's come out of nowhere, it's a lot of, like, a couple days before or a week before. Never would this happen. Luis Figo, David Beckham, just examples of, like, just even coaches getting things wrong. Ancelotti a few weeks ago saying Benzema has one more year, he's not going anywhere. That was, like, literally a day after it was announced that Benzema was leaving. Gareth Bale, famously, Zidane said in a press conference, Bale's off to China. That's why he's not playing. And then he just stays for, like, a few more years.
You remember? Yes.
A lot of those examples of, you know, these people who are literally in, as, a, like, coaches, the player themselves, president in this case.
So I wanted to ask you a few things as well. What's going on? I have been reading about this supposed acuerdo, this agreement that had been reached, that has been reached between Ancelotti and the Brazilian national team. What's going on there?
That's it. I mean,
but is that for now? Like, is he leaving? Are you guys in the market for a new coach?
End of contract. Ah. So end of next season.
Okay. So that's a done deal? Is that official?
It hasn't been announced officially yet. It's just been leaked. It's just been leaked. I think it was ESPN Brazil who...
Has Fabrizio said anything about it?
I don't know. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know. Anytime Fabrizio says something, it's just that he basically copy and paste what someone else says and says...
Well, you can't... Yeah.
Like, I don't...
No, but he confirms. It's not just to spread a rumor. It's like if Fabrizio confirms a rumor, it's like, oh, this shit is happening. It's like the let's go thing, right? Like
he probably has. I mean, it's really hard to keep track with his tweets, and I don't follow him personally, so I don't really know what he says. I just will come across this stuff, but I'm sure he's probably commented on it. But it hasn't.
Like, I feel like he is not the news breaker necessarily, but sort of when he puts it out there publicly, it's like, okay, this is. And what about this whole, I did catch wind of this morning on a podcast I was listening to while driving to work, that and Madridistas apparently are up in arm, or at least the Madrid based newspapers are, that Benzi has stopped following Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Even though apparently Real Madrid stopped following Benzi first. But, you know, Madrid does that as a protocol because they don't follow players that are not part of their clan. But if the player then stops following them, like apparently Cristiano did, then it's a problem and it's a massive disrespect. What's the Madrid community saying on managing Madrid?
I have no idea. I mean,
about this?
I knew about it, yeah. I mean, I don't know what they're saying. I honestly have no idea.
Are you disrespect? Are you like, man, Benzema, why you got to do us like that?
I couldn't care less.
Okay.
Couldn't care less. I don't even follow Real Madrid, Diego, just so you know.
Mm?
Yeah, I don't follow like any players.
Stop it.
I don't follow Real Madrid. I just...
Stop it. Listeners, prove this man wrong. bombard his profiles now. I do not believe that for a second. You're telling me that you don't follow any...
I follow 100 people or less.
Oh, okay, well, that's a lot. Maybe. To go from I don't follow any to I follow 100.
No, I said I don't follow any players or teams. Like, that's, I just don't. I only follow journalists and friends, basically. But
So you're sticking by. You're only following... So those 100 that you're following are not players or Hamaji?
No, because they post boring stuff.
How come? Why?
They post boring stuff. They're just very, like, right. I have no problem with it. I just, like, I'm not interested in filling my feed with, like, you know, Danny Ceballos posting a picture saying, great victory, 3 points.
Right.
Cool.
Right. I got you.
It just floods my feed with unnecessary... I mean, Managing Madrid follows everything and everyone, so I can just see it there too if I'm logged into that account.
Ah, there's the loophole. There's the loophole.
Yeah. I have to go, man. Starting.
All right, man. Podcast. Get out of here. Just get out of here. Right.
When's our next podcast?
Yeah, well, from my side, there's nothing exciting to say, of course, in Can Barça right now. All the focus is on, I believe, exits before we can talk about players coming in. So
congratulations, top three golden boy this year again.
Of course,
but he's not number one.
No rastro, no sign of Ceballos, not even on a national team, and that's without Luis Enrique there. So take your feud. I said on the national team. Without Luis Enrique being there. So take your feud now with De La Fuente. We are recording on Thursday.
Okay.
Truth. Thursday is San Juan.
Okay.
It's a big celebration. We'll have to wait. Probably Friday.
Okay.
All right.
Friday over on patreon.com/churrositacticas. If you're a patron listening, send us your questions for that show. Diego, it was a pleasure.
Always is.
All right, man.
Peace. Much love. Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.